hurry this up and get off the stage. So it is, I don't say this lightly, it is so amazing to be here this morning. I love this group. If you've been invited to this group and you're not a member here, you've been invited to one of the greatest things you could ever be invited to. These are some of the greatest people I've come to meet and know and call my family, as Justin was reminding of us today. If you're just visiting and you just walked in, you've stumbled into a tremendous gold mine. It's a privilege to get to worship with this family this morning. It's a privilege to get to present a few thoughts from the Word of God. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. By way of reminder, when I get up here, we're just going to be working our way through the passage of 1 Corinthians 13, trying to understand this concept that God says is so vital and so important. That we come to understand love because love is the greatest of all things. It's greater than faith, greater than hope, greater than the apostles, greater than whatever spiritual gift you might magnify above everything else. Love is the greatest. We've got to come to understand love. We, here at university, while this is a tremendous family, and I love this group, are still working to perfect love and to understand God's standard of love. And so we hope that as you have opportunity, that you will be loving, and as you see opportunity to encourage yourself to love better, that you will do that. Notice that I said that because Paul, when he writes this letter, doesn't say, "All right, you Corinthians, learn how to love." He talks about himself. And I know the temptation with preaching these kinds of lessons, especially one on patience, is to say this, "Hey, you're not being loving. You're not being patient with me." That's not what these lessons are for. It's not for us to look around and point the finger and say, "Hey, you're not measuring up." No, Paul says, "I am nothing. I have nothing. It profits me nothing if I don't understand love." It's the only pronoun you get to use when you talk about love, about you, yourself, and how you're doing with this. So we get into this list in 1 Corinthians 13. The very first thing, love is patient. When you hear that word patient, I think like me, you might think immediately to waiting for a reward. Like, that's how I use patience most often in my life. So my kids want something. They're demanding something. I say, "Hey, be patient. You need to wait. You need to wait for your reward." That is not the word here that we're going to study today. It's not waiting for a reward. It's not this concept that you're going to wait for what you get from God. The idea, rather, in some translations say long-suffering. Suffereth long is what the King James would say. And it's this idea that patience is really driving us to understand that there is a destination that we never get to. And we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. But 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." Love is patient. Paul personifies love. Paul says, if you got to interact with love, this is what it would be like. Love is patient. I want you to forget about the rest of the list. At least for me, my work is already cut out. I am prone to impatience. But what is meant by patience here? There's this other idea that we have when it comes to being patient that is outside of it just waiting for a reward. It's this idea that I will call just tolerance. Like, I can tolerate you for a certain amount of time. And while we're face to face, I'll be patient with you. I'll tolerate you. But man, as soon as you leave, or as soon as I leave and we're not face to face, how's my patience? How am I suffering long? So the Greek word literally means to have a high boiling point. And that specific word is never used outside of explaining relationship. Relationship between God and his people. Relationship between people and people. And so really it's this idea that patience puts off, puts out of reach, suffers a long time, especially when it comes to anger. Anger is a destination that I never reach. God gets angry. God gets angry towards sin. God has to punish sin. God is a God who's going to pour out his wrath against sin. Yet when you read and you come to understand God's patience, he says, my wrath is coming, but it's going to be a long time. I don't immediately go there. And you know that's true in your life. You know that you've sinned and you've not died immediately. Well, the Bible will teach, and we'll look at momentarily, that's because of God's patience. It's this destination that's unreachable. So when you say things like, I'm running out of patience, you don't understand patience. Because again, patience isn't tolerating. Patience is an unreachable destination. It's always the same distance away. Why should I be patient, though? It goes back to this concept of love. God is love. Jesus is described in Ephesians chapter 5 as love. So if I'm not becoming like Christ, if I'm not becoming like God in my way of loving others and being patient, then I'm nothing, and I have nothing. God is patient towards us. He puts his anger far away. And yet the Bible would also emphasize that that's not something that I ought to take lightly. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is makothumos, is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote you. A promise of God's wrath is real. That's not good news. But God is patient. And what does God get for his patience? He is mocked. Where is God? You say that God is going to judge. You say that God is going to pour out his wrath against sin. Where is he? It's 2022. Where is God? You Christians are just a bunch of foolish people. You keep talking about God. So show me God. But Peter says, God isn't slow. He's patient. Don't take that lightly. He has every right to judge. He has every right to pour out his wrath. But his wrath is far away. It's long. Why? Because he wants to save. He wants to save you. He wants to save me. He wants to save us. Paul will later write in Romans chapter 2, but do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same thing yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? God has a goal in being patient, to save us, to lead us to repentance. And I love the language used here. This is part of the riches of God, is coming to understand patience. Why? So that our hearts will be changed. So our minds will be changed. So we will be led to repentance. And think about what patience meant in the life of Paul. For this reason, I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience, an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. God is perfectly patient. Do you think Paul understands that? For those of us that know what happened in Paul's life, what would happen to Saul, which is who Paul was before coming to Christ? What would have happened to Saul if God was not patient? Well, I can tell you right now, we wouldn't be reading 1 Corinthians 13 because it wouldn't exist. So Paul says, to understand the patience of God, to understand his long-suffering, to understand how slow he is about putting his wrath in our lives, look at my life. So as we work through the rest of the text, I want you guys to think about that. Think about God's patience in your life, what that looks like and what that means. So I did something that I'm going to tell you, you can do yourself. If you go to a website or you just pick up an interlinear Bible, you can look up the Greek words here used in 1 Corinthians 13. One of those Greek words is translated for us as patience. So you know what I did? I just looked up all the ways that that Greek word is used in the Bible, where it appears. New Testament written in Greek, so I'm pretty much limited to the New Testament. You have to pick a different word in the Hebrew that translates to patience or goodness or kindness. But you can do this study. So what I've done today, you can do on your own. And it's super simple, super easy. I can teach you how to do it. It's a great way to study the Bible. So what does patience look like, or where else is patience found in the Bible? Well, again, we're building on this premise that God is long-suffering, God is patient, God puts off his wrath because his desire is to change our hearts, lead us to repentance, and to lead us to salvation. But there's this passage in Matthew 18 where you find the same word for patience. So in Matthew 18, and we're not going to take time to read the whole account, but you can go ahead and turn there if you want in your Bibles. Matthew 18, this is a well-known passage. Peter is talking to Jesus, and in Matthew 18, beginning about verse 21, he asked Jesus, "Okay, Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times?" And just be real. Like, think about that. Someone has wronged you with the same wrong seven times. Have you been pretty patient with that person? Well, man, by number five, yeah, I've been really patient. So maybe Peter is like, "Hey, I'm a pretty patient guy, right, Jesus? Because I'm willing to forgive someone up to seven times for maybe the same offense." And what does Jesus say to him? He says in verse 22, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." And then he goes on to tell this parable, this story about what patience really looks like. And so he tells this parable about this guy who owed a huge debt. And he says he owed 10,000, a myriad. That's the highest number that they could have gone. So for us today, it would be like, man, this guy owed this man a Google amount of money. That's not even a real number in our minds. But he owed him an unpayable debt, a talent. It's the highest monetary value that they had. So he owed him a Google of bitcoins, is what we would say. How do you pay back that much? You don't. You can't. It's literally impossible. There is no way that you could ever pay that amount of money to someone. But what does the guy say? So he comes to have the account settled. The master comes to have the account settled with the borrower. And verse 26, "So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything.'" I want you to understand what happens here. This guy comes to the master and he says, put your wrath on out for a little bit longer. Continue to suffer with me. And I'll pay you back everything. He can't do that. There's no way that he can ever pay that money back. And so, as you know, because this is, again, a familiar account, what does the master say to him? He says, don't worry about it. It's all forgiven. I'll let it go. So then what does this guy go on to do? He goes and he finds, the text says he seeks out, he goes and he finds someone who owes him 100 denarii, not even the same value, not even the same quantity or amount. And he has no patience with him, because then that slave comes and he does the same thing. Verse 28. That slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience. Same word. Have patience with me, and I will repay you. So you've just been forgiven, as it would read, this unpayable debt. You had no hope of paying it back. And it's almost like God purposefully makes this guy say the same words that you just said. Have patience with me. Are you going to have patience? Like, by way of head, would you have patience with this guy if you're in this parable? Yeah? No. By way of head, like, show me. Yeah? Okay. I think most of us would. I think we would read this, and when we read this, we're like, yeah, that guy doesn't get it. He missed it. He had the opportunity to forgive and to show patience, to not bring his wrath out against someone, to be loving in the same way that his master was loving towards him. But he wouldn't forgive. The king was compassionate and forgiving. And the servant was not. So patience looks like forgiveness and mercy. But I want you to think about times where you're impatient, where you get angry just like that, where your wrath is not long-suffering. Who are you impatient with? Why are you impatient with that person? Have you ever thought about asking yourself that question? Like, why is it when I talk to brother so-and-so, I have all the patience in the world? But when I talk to this brother, everything he says just makes me mad. Everything that he does just annoys me. And everything that he does just makes me well up inside that I just get so wrathful and vengeful. Why is that? Why is it that you're patient with everyone else's kids, but you're not with your own? Why is it that you're patient with everyone's spouse, but not your own? Why is it that you're patient with everyone except your boss, except your neighbor, except your elders? Why are you patient with Josh and not with me? In times of conflict, I think we're impatient, and at least I'm impatient. Because that person is indebted to me. They owe me something. They owe me respect, you know? So I don't like the way that they're talking to me because I feel like they owe me the decency of respect. They've wronged me a lot in life. And they've never apologized. They owe me an apology. We feel like they owe us whatever it is. The king was owed countless money, and that's not easy. But the king is merciful and compassionate and forgiving. And that's what patience is, the counseling out of debts. Patience becomes impossible when without forgiveness. And I know, brethren, there are people in your life right now that you are not patient with. Because they owe you a very large debt. They've treated you or are currently treating you in such a way that they can never make up and they can never repay. There is nothing that they could say or do that's going to fix the problems that they've incurred. And you know what you're doing? You know why you're not patient with them? You know why I'm not patient? Because I'm waiting. Just pay me back that debt. Just start paying me something. And that's never going to happen. And so then Jesus sobers us up in verse 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. If you don't grow to emulate God's patience, and God says, how do you want me to be patient with you? Patience is not partial. Again, going back to this concept, are you patient with some and not with others? Think about the most impatient person that you know. Think about the person that you walk on eggshells around. Who is that person in your life? Are they mom? Are they dad? Are they your brother? Are they your sister? Are they your spouse? Now think of the most patient person in your life. The person who just always seems to forgive you. The person who always seems to have an encouraging and an edifying word for you. The person that you feel like you could say anything to, and it would be okay. Patience looks like that and not like the former. I think many of us would be embarrassed if someone said, well, you're the impatient person that I'm thinking of. But I think it's also embarrassing if someone thinks of us as the most patient person that they know. Because I think for a lot of us, we are partially patient. We are capable of patience with some and incapable of patience with others. We are in complete control at times, and then at times we're not. At times we choose who to be patient with. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Same word. Patience doesn't just overlook things. Patience admonishes the ruly. That's what love does. Patience encourages the faint-hearted because that's what love does. Patience helps the weak because that's what love does. But patience is also patient with everyone. Patience is not lazy, is the point. So why is patience difficult? Because I care about justice and I care about fairness. And someone is doing something in my life right now that merits my wrath. It's justifiable. Patience becomes hard because I like justice. And patience postpones. It puts away justice. There are people that I care about. There are people that should be here. And when they're not here and they're here, I get frustrated and I get angry. And I'm impatient with them because I want you to be better right now. I want you to be more holy right now. I want you to be whatever it is right now. And so I say, I don't have to be patient because you merit my wrath. Why should they be there right now? Is it because you actually care about their holiness? Is it because you actually care that your spouse is becoming more like Christ? Is it because you actually care that you're guarding and watching over the souls of your children to give them back to God? Or Is it because you're watching TV and your kids are being annoying and you're like, I want my life to be comfortable right now? Is it because you don't really want to deal with this sister's drama right now? And so you're like, man, why didn't she just fix her life? Why didn't she just get out of this sin that she's been doing over and over and over again? That way I don't have to sit here on the phone, or I don't have to sit there and drive to this person's house. And brethren, I don't need to talk to you about what agape love means, because I'm sure you've heard countless lessons on that. But love is not selfish. It is selfless. And you know what patience means? Patience means that I stay uncomfortable for a while. And patience is difficult because you might be experiencing peace while I'm not. You might be experiencing comfort while I'm not. But that's exactly the Christ-like attitude we are called to have. Patience is difficult because we feel like we're owed something. But what we need to long for is the patience found in passages like Colossians chapter 1. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Chapter 3, verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience is not permissive. Patience doesn't think that sin is okay or that injustice is okay. Patience isn't passive. Patience doesn't do nothing. Patience is active. Patience relentlessly trusts in the Lord and in the things that He can do that we can't. Patience understands that God will deal perfectly with everything in perfect justice. So like Jesus, we just keep entrusting ourselves to Him. Patience doesn't get angry. Love is patient because God is patient. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Psalm 103, verse 8. In the same way, James 1:19 says we would be quick to hear, slow to speak, and patient, slow to anger. So today, you and I are going to have an opportunity. And this is what I don't want, brethren. I don't want us to leave here feeling good about God's patience towards us and saying, man, isn't it great that God is patient? Isn't it great that God didn't punish me right then and there for my sin? Isn't it great that God let me have my sins washed away? And then you get in the car and you start cursing under your breath the people out there, that you don't have patience with your spouse, with your children, with the waiter or the waitress, that you don't have patience with the people driving around you, that you don't have patience with everybody else, because just like we read in Matthew 18, it would make no sense for us to sit here and say, man, it's great, it's awesome, I can't wait to sing about the wonderful love and mercy that God had towards me, and then us not repay that to someone else. That would be just the worst. I need to be patient. I'm going to confess to you, I'm not patient. I'm trying so hard to work on that. I'm not patient with my kids. I'm not patient with my spouse. I'm not patient with my little brother. And you know what's embarrassing? Is I feel like I'm patient with all of you. And I say that to my shame. You're going to be tempted today to be impatient. And in that moment, you will have an invitation to love like God is love. But here's the thing. Even if you fail, we do not fear condemnation because the cross has paid for that sin. So when I fail to be patient, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to repent of my failure. I'm going to confess it to God. I'm going to confess it to the people that I've been impatient with. I'm going to rejoice in the grace of Christ. I'm going to press on to continue growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning, and you are not dead physically, but you are dead spiritually, know that God is being patient with you. And he will continue being patient because he wants you to repent and he wants you to change your life. And he wants you to accept the salvation that he has offered. If you're a Christian here tonight or today, come to know what the love of God is. Let's not just talk about it. Let's not just sing about it. Let's not just pray about it. Let's put it into action. This is another cool thing that you'll learn, and I can, again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but like, I understand basic English. All those words used there that we would translate as adjectives or descriptors of love, love is, they're all verbs. Love is not about us just learning, it's about us becoming. So you have an opportunity to become love. You have an opportunity to become like God and be holy like he is holy. And you have an opportunity to be like Christ. If we can encourage you in any way this morning, if we can pray with you, if we can study with you, if there's anything that we can do, please make your request known as we all stand and as we sing the song of encouragement.